During a recent episode of the satirical news program Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, the HBO host explained how a federal government loan program designed to incentivize eco-friendly home upgrades has resulted in unsuspected homeowners taking on costs they can't afford and, in some cases, losing their homes. Here's a clip of Oliver talking about the Property Assessed Clean Energy Programs, a.k.a. PACE loans.
Even though I've already called it a loan, it's technically a lien on your house, a kind of debt directly attached to your property in which, in this instance, you gradually pay back through your property taxes. And ads promoting PACE have liked to put that fact front and center.
Your house is actually borrowing the money and not you personally.
It's more like the house is getting the financing because payments are made through an assessment on your property taxes.
It's as if your house is borrowing the money, not you personally.
Okay, stop, because there is an obvious problem there. Even if your house is technically borrowing the money, that money comes in the form of property taxes and you pay for those. Your house doesn't, because houses can't pay taxes, because houses don't have money.
While the segment highlighted examples from California and Florida, the show indicated they could be coming to New York, so I was curious about what that might mean for the Empire State. For the answer to that question and much more, we're joined by Richard Berkeley, Executive Director of the Public Utility Law Project, which serves as an advocate for low-income utility consumers. Welcome back to the show, Richard.
Thank you.
And we also have with us, making her Capitol Press Room return, Kirsten Keefe, a senior attorney with the Empire Justice Center. Welcome back, Kirsten.
Thank you so much.
So PACE financing is supposed to give homeowners access to capital that they might not otherwise have had to make green home renovations, which could potentially lower their energy bills, will likely increase the value of their homes, and help reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So what's not to like from this initiative?
From a consumer protection standpoint, we have a lot of concerns about these types of loans. I think our primary concern is that they are collected not like traditional mortgages, but like property taxes on your home. And so they don't have a lot of the consumer protections that basic mortgages and home equity lines of credit would have.
So, yeah, what happens if you fall behind in your property taxes in New York?
One of the big things that happens is you can get high interest is accumulated on your property taxes. So the most common interest rate in New York State is a 12% interest that is added to your tax bill. In some localities, that interest rate is even higher, as high as 18%. So those interest rates would actually transfer also to these loans. If you fell behind in your property taxes, you would fall behind on this loan, and that high interest rate would accumulate.
The show said there are plans to expand the program to New York. What's the status of that effort right now? And because this is a federal program, does the state have much of a say in terms of the ability of this financing to be offered here?
Sure, and I'll jump in on this one because I was the director of the New York State Senate Energy Committee back in the Great Recession, which was the last time there was a big push by the PACE industry to try and get residential PACE loans in New York. And it was rejected by the legislature back then because of concerns about what would happen if people borrowed too much and didn't receive the value that they sought and got behind on this stuff. The other reason was that while it may make a lot of sense for commercial PACE borrowers, the use case for New York residential customers is not here yet. And I would make the argument that we're in an economic situation at least as bad as the Great Recession, if not worse. And now that with the end of the state of emergency, utility shutoffs are allowed to occur, potentially evictions and foreclosures once again. Why do we need this now when we already have other things that are kind of burdens people's ability to retain ownership of their house?
Yeah. Are there other financing options for low-income New Yorkers which might not get them stuck with the same escalating costs that are part of this program, potentially?
The short answer is yes. We have a tremendous amount of flexible financing that is tested and approved by the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, otherwise known as NYSERDA. They're specifically designed for low and moderate income households. And so this program is redundant, among other things.
You know, so certainly there are grants and loan programs available to homeowners for some upgrades that they need to their house and home improvements. So any program should at least evaluate the homeowner to see if they're otherwise eligible for a lower cost loan or even a grant to do the energy improvement or home improvement that they need. But also in New York State, we have a robust, highly regulated conventional financing system. We have banks that, you know, regularly make home equity loans. So I have really struggled with seeing the need for this new financing product that would be outside of the regular financial services scope and a loan product that would, again, be essentially a loan on your house, but it's not made as a loan on your house in the same way that a regular mortgage or home equity line of credit is, and thus is not subject to the same level of consumer protection.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking about a federal loan program designed to promote green home renovations, which has a bit of a dubious track record and may be coming to New York. And our guests are Richard Berkeley of the Public Utility Law Project and Kirsten Keefe of the Empire Justice Center. So, Richard, you mentioned how the state turned this program away following the Great Recession of 13 years ago. But what is the process like right now? And is there serious interest from the industry to begin offering these products in New York?
Yes, there is a great deal of interest from the industry, and they have been talking to governmental entities, to my knowledge, in New York, and to banks and to, you know, advocates like Kirsten and I and others that are interested in protecting low and moderate income and fixed income communities. So there's a great deal of interest in this. There is a decent amount of money to be made by the originators and also to some extent by the municipalities that allow this in, although it has dangers too. The thing that I would focus on is that the state legislature, just like all of us New Yorkers, we are really concerned with being able to meet our goals to reduce carbon emissions, to increase energy efficiency and weatherization, and basically to make our state into a showcase for dealing with climate change. And that means we're all looking at everything that seems sensible. And the trick is that people like Kirsten and I have to be the rain on the parade to remind people that if it doesn't make sense, it's not worth doing.
Well, is it a good sign that the industry appears to be engaging consumer advocates like yourself as they prepare to launch potentially in New York? And building on that question, have they been responsive to concerns raised by consumer advocates like yourself?
It's a good sign. I think that they are coming forward in a way that is perhaps not as transparent and, you know, vulnerable consumer focused as we might like. But, you know, give them credit. The industry is coming forward and talking to us. Having said that, there's a great deal of pushback in other states that, you know, bit by bit are eliminating the ability to do these loans because of bad experiences and foreclosures and all sorts of difficult things. And Kirsten and I could forward some of the states that have had problems with the PACE industry up to now, and the industry is learning from that. So I think we have the benefit of, unfortunately, the mistakes and the harms in other states, and also the fact that we are known to be strong consumer advocates in a pro-consumer state.
One of the most problematic pieces, David, that was brought out in the John Oliver piece and that has really caused problems in other states like California and Florida is this contractor-driven model. These loans were able to be made by contractors using an iPad in the living room of the homeowner with all the tricks and traps of, you know, door-to-door salesman techniques and wanting to get the deal done, and also a lack of transparency for homeowners because they were only looking at the paperwork, not on paper, but on an iPad. So that actually by law cannot happen in New York State. You can't have contractor driven models in New York State. You actually have to have, you know, a mortgage broker or a bank who is actually arranging for the financing. So we are a step ahead, but, you know, with that, we still have a host of concerns around consumer protections and underwriting of these loans and, you know, other concerns about these loans.
So based on that description you were giving about how people would sign up, what would the mechanics be then if it's not as simple as a contractor coming to your door and getting you the paperwork signed via an iPad or some other tablet they have with them, would a person actually have to go to a physical lending institution and take care of the process? And is there any guarantee that they might also have any sort of financial or legal advice as they sign up for something like this?
You know, it's not exactly clear how it would operate. A homeowner wouldn't have to go to a financial institution. You could have a licensed mortgage broker in New York State working with the homeowner directly. But there are protections and regulations on what the mortgage broker has to disclose and provide information to the homeowner. And if they fail to provide required information, you know, there are laws where you can hold the mortgage broker accountable. So there's certainly more accountability instilled for who is actually arranging for the loan.
One of the things that that we've been advocating for is that there be strict oversight by the Department of Financial Services, that it write strongly pro-consumer regulations, and thus the parameters of the final program are sort of up in the air, because first, this, you know, is an attempt to make this happen in New York by the industry. But it hasn't happened yet. And second, the Department of Financial Services, NYSERDA, you know, R2 groups, and then some of the other large consumer protection entities in the state are all focused on this. And there will be more discussions about consumer protection. So will it be as easy as getting a mortgage now, which is you can go online, you can make a phone call, you can go in person? If there is a way to come up with a program that is safe and supports our climate goals and, you know, avoids the problems that we've seen in other states, then it should be relatively easy to get access to a properly regulated and properly protective product in the end.
So if I want to get a mortgage, I'm going to have to prove to a lender that I have the ability to pay that mortgage. Do you want to see any sort of minimum income thresholds that people might need to meet in order to basically prove that they can pay for the additional property tax costs that they're going to incur from this program, or likely to incur from this program?
It's not so much that we're looking for a specific income level, but that the product that is offered and agreed upon is reasonably calculated to be affordable and not drive people into financial deficit. It's important to start out also by noting that a mortgage is usually for a fairly large amount of money. A PACE loan could be as little as $5,000 or $10,000, or it may be relatively expensive depending upon the state of the housing product that you're looking at. I think something that's reasonably calculated to be affordable, reasonably calculated not to put you into economic distress. And then one of the things that has always been a discussed key mark is that you should get as close as possible to being able to pay out the cost of the additional financing out of the money that you save from the work done on your house. I mean, otherwise, you're just putting yourself underwater, and you may or may not be in that structure long enough for it to be of any value to it.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Kirsten Keefe, a senior attorney with the Empire Justice Center. Thank you, Kirsten.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
And Richard Berkley, Executive Director of the Public Utility Law Project.
Thank you for having us on.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.